Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 15th, 2018. In turmoil, most of us don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If I didn't know better, I'd say I'd hear birds chirping. Anyway, please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And just to alert the producer, there seems to be some birds chirping or something going on. I don't know what it is, but maybe nobody else can hear it but me. Maybe all that's in my head, folks. Anyway, don't forget to call me. My phone number is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all these things at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Morocco, Munich, Germany, Moscow, Russia, Canada, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Washington, D.C., Henderson, Nevada, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Plano, Texas, and Greensboro, North Carolina. These are just to name a few. Of course, Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now, also follow us and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, Father, and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Jerusalem, Israel, an article in a Turkish paper which close ties to Turkey's president, Erdogan, I guess that's how you pronounce him. Anyway, he exposes the regime's desire to form an army of Islam to attack and destroy the state of Israel. The article calls on the 57 member nations of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, throughout the Muslim world to join forces against Israel or the Israeli occupiers who would be vastly outnumbered and unable to defend their country. Translated and posted by Memory, that's M-E-M-R-I, Middle East Research Institute. In fact, we've interviewed one of their authors over here about probably, it might have been about eight or 9 years ago, but we have interviewed people from there. The article details how combined ground, air, and naval forces could defeat Israel militarily in just 10 days and diplomatically in 20 days, thereby liberating Palestine. Well, anyway, I guess they don't read their Bible. When I saw this, I felt it was very prophetic. for this kind of thing, I can only think of one person to really come on and talk about this, and he's one of the best researchers that I know. His name is, Joel Richardson. He's a husband and a father. He's committed to pro-life and adoption movements. He's an artist, human rights activist in New York, best-selling author, New York Times, best-selling author, internationally recognized speaker, and recognized expert on Bible prophecy and the Middle East. Anyway, Joel's heart is thoroughly missional with a deep love for Muslims and the peoples of the Middle East. His books are When a Jew Rules the World, Mideast Beast, Islamic Antichrist, and he co-authored a book called God's War on Terror, Islam Prophecy in the Bible, with Walid Shubat. He also did this must-see documentary, End Time Eyewitness, The Global Jesus Revolution, The Battle for Jerusalem, and of course, he's made many, many other DVDs. You need to go to his website and check it out. That's Joel's Trumpet, and his newest book is called Mystery Babylon. He also has a video program called The Underground, and it's really great to hear him talk. So, welcome tonight, Joel Richardson. Are you there with us, Joel?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's great to be on with you again.
Yeah, and we were just on pretty recently. Let me know if you hear some weird birds chirping or something. I keep hearing something crazy over here, but they call you not to hear. Go ahead.
I'm actually sitting in my backyard, and normally when I do interviews with you, I'm down in the basement with the mice and the spiders, but today I'm in my backyard, and I think the birds are joining me. I'm not sure what it's like in Wichita, but in Kansas City it feels like spring today.
Oh, yeah, it's really great out there today. Well, that solves the problem. I don't mind so much the birds now that I know they're not in my head, you know what I mean, because... You know how that goes, but yeah, I just kept hearing birds. And I thought, man, what is going on? Anyway, in fact, you're the one that posted this article. I found it from Twitter. Back to you.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely amazing because, you know, several years ago, if I had, you know, jumped forward in time and seen some of the articles that have been appearing, this is not the only one. I mean, this is a dramatic story, but if I had seen the articles, I would have said, oh, come on, you know, it's almost like as if I had written a fictional end time story, and this is one of the articles that I made up, and someone would look at it and say, oh, no, that's going a little too far, like, that's a little too obvious, it's a little too biblical, to the point of it being surreal, but we have headlines that are jumping out of the newspaper, I mean, over the past couple of years, especially with regard to Turkey. And they are absolutely fulfilling the very specific descriptions in terms of what the prophets were speaking of. And again, things that I've been talking about for well over a decade now. And it's very strange to watch it unfold.
Yeah, amen. In fact, I'm looking at the, you know, why there's been some other articles by different people, and even like the Breaking News in Israel that gave their take on it. They refer back to this article in Memory, I guess is how you pronounce it, M-E-M-R-I. But I'm looking at this picture, and it's showing the invasion of Israel, and I'm going, this is Gog-Magog battle. Back to you.
Yeah, so just to give everyone a little bit of a background, so yeah, Memory is Middle Eastern Media Research Institute, so they do a lot of reporting in terms of, you know, original language, Turkish, Arabic, Farsi, Persian, Iranian news sites, and they'll translate it and report videos and news articles that we can't track with because of the language. So it's an excellent resource, and they quote from an article. It's a Turkish newspaper called Yeni Shafak, which is, it translates as like the new dawn. And we need to understand that in Turkey, since the failed coup about two years ago, numerous news outlets in Turkey have been shut down. And, of course, news outlets are always, the media is always the canary in the coal mine of any dictatorship. So, you know, since this failed coup, they've used the excuse of the coup to shut down any news outlet, any reporter, anyone who is not completely pro-government. So Yeni Shafak is one of the largest, it has been for years, one of the largest news outlets in Turkey. But it has very clear ties to the president of Turkey, Erdogan. So the fellow who wrote the article, Adnan Tanrıverdi, so he wrote this, and this just came out just about a week ago. So this was just before this massive meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, of which Erdogan is the head, the current acting head right now, before they had this large meeting in Turkey. He posted this article, and we have to understand that Tanrıverdi is one of Erdogan's chief military advisors. So this is not just, you know, if this was the United States, this is not just some random individual writing an opinion piece. This is a guy who has close advisory role, and has close relationship with the president. So he writes this article, and he is openly calling for, all 57 of the Muslim-majority nations that are part of the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, calling on them to join together, in very clear language, and invade Israel. And he goes through all kinds of statistics in terms of finances, in terms of manpower, in terms of military power, and saying, look, if we join forces, we can easily overtake Israel. And then beyond that, he calls on Turkey, of course, and this is another theme that's emerging in a lot of these news articles, to take a leadership role. So when you combine the headline of this call for all Islamic nations to join together to invade Israel, you have a headline right out of Joel, right out of Zechariah, right out of Revelation, right out of Ezekiel. And then when you have references to Turkey taking a leadership role, then you're getting even more specific in terms of, what I've been saying for years, which is when we carefully analyze the prophet, it is Turkey who takes the leadership role of this coming beast coalition, the Antichrist coalition of Middle Eastern, North African, Muslim-majority nations. And, the pieces are absolutely coming together. And so, this is still, Turkey still to this day remains a member of NATO, allegedly our ally. But the world has changed over the past few years, and I'm absolutely convinced that within a few years there's going to be a massive split with NATO. We're going to have full-blown, brazen military conflict with Turkey, and we're going to look back. Military analysts are going to look back and say Erdogan has emerged as the, essentially the Ayatollah Khomeini of Turkey. What Khomeini did with the Iranian Revolution, the Islamic Revolution in Iran, turn Turkey into a dictatorship, and in many ways, people will be comparing him to Hitler, because I really believe that he is the closest thing to an Adolf Hitler of our time.
Yeah, absolutely, and not like the leftist, because the left people, people out there on the left call just about anybody they disagree with Hitler, what I'm saying? But seriously, Hitler wanted to eliminate the Jews and dictatorship and all these things, and this is clearly what he wants to do. In fact, now, wasn't Turkey until Erdogan, wasn't they more considered like a moderate, Islamic nation? I mean, they didn't seem like they enforced Sharia law or everything quite like the other nations. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, beginning, and this goes back, 1923, 1924, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. Atatürk is a term which means the father of the Turks. It's an honorific title that they gave him. He comes forward and he basically looks at Europe and he goes, man, all these European nations are doing fantastic. You've got the Industrial Revolution. Economically, scientifically, in every which way, they're doing great. He goes, the Islamic world is just sort of this backwater. We're floundering. And he thought that the problem was Islam. And so he established this system of governance of checks and balances in Turkey, which was, it would establish the idea that while Islam could be practiced and honored, it would always remain out of the government. And so, sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
So let me just step inside.
Yeah, we wouldn't want you to be attacking. Oh, your dog. I thought maybe the birds were coming after you. We had Alfred Hitchcock again. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, no. This is the problem right now, is I got no place to hide, but I'm going to go hide up in the secret bunker, so we'll be safe from the birds. So in any case, Atatürk establishes the system of checks and balances. whereby Turkey would essentially, while they still have their Islamic history, it would be a secular nation. And this remains so throughout all of last century. And right up until even just 10 years ago, you heard American military political analysts talking about Turkey as the nation that we want to replicate throughout the Middle East. When we invaded Iraq, you know, after 9/11, the idea was we want to see Iraq become more like Turkey. They can have their soft Islamist government, but, you know, the idea that it would really be a secular, democratic entity. And, you know, I've been, again, for over 10, 15 years now saying that is all going to change because the prophets, the biblical prophets, make it clear that in the last days, Turkey would emerge as the leader of a Middle Eastern anti-Israel coalition. And it's just, you know, we've watched sort of the pieces fall into place step by step, and it's amazing how, again, how far it has proceeded and how quickly it's moved forward.
Right. Right, absolutely. And like I say, that, you know, anybody that has read your books or, you know, believes in Islamic Antichrist or maybe reads the names of the nations that are listed in Ezekiel 39, I think it is, 38, 39, anyway, would be shocked at looking at this picture that I'm looking at. It's just like right out of biblical prophecy. Who wrote that? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, here you are looking at an article, again, put together by a chief military advisor to the president of Turkey. And again, Turkey has the largest army in the Middle East. It doesn't necessarily mean they have the most powerful military, but they have, in terms of numbers, they have the largest army, and they do have an incredibly sophisticated military. So between Egypt, Turkey, and Iran, these are really the three largest militaries, and then Islamic militaries, then you've got Israel. But it, just in terms of numbers, and this is one of the things that Tanriverdi does in the article, is he goes, look, think about this. He goes, in the state of Israel, they only have about 8 million people, and of course that includes the Arabs. That includes the Palestinian people, as they would call themselves. And he goes, and we've got like 14 million people just in Istanbul alone. And he's basically saying, hey, look, even just Turkey by itself could take Israel. He goes, but what would happen if we had all these, all the Islamic nations join us? And we've had other comments, you know, the president of Malaysia, because we're going to remember the largest, most populous Muslim nation in the world is outside of the Middle East. It's actually Indonesia. And so Malaysia, Indonesia, you know, essentially connected. And you have the president of Malaysia just recently stating, this is after Trump acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel, he goes, we're willing to use all of our military resources to liberate Jerusalem. And so you have these other nations which would often be considered more moderate because of the controversy of Zion, because of the controversy over Jerusalem, saying, hey, look, we're willing to throw our hat in militarily with some of these other more radical nations, such as Pakistan, emerging radical nation of Turkey, and so forth. So it's, you know, that storm that is swirling around Jerusalem, it's soon going to engulf the whole world.
Yeah, amen. And here, once again, folks, listen, and you hear what Joel said. You know, after President Trump pointed out that, you know, Jerusalem is, you know, the capital of Israel, acknowledged it, it's once again, it just seems like every time I turn around, Trump, something that he does, and it doesn't even just pertain to Israel, but something that he does seems to bring out, you know, things like this out of the woodwork. Like, you know, Malaysia, well, okay, well, they are thinking about this, and they're using the trigger point, something Trump did. And it's just like now looking at across the United States and you're seeing some of the evilness, and I do mean evilness, coming out of so many different people with the hatred and the lying and the, you know, it just seems to me like he's caused a storm to come forward. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and this is one of the key barometers, if you will, one of the key touch points for the end times. I say, like, if you want to understand the end times, it's really this simple. God has made a series of promises And these promises will result in the redemption of all creation, the establishment of his kingdom, the restoration of Eden, the restoration of the kingdom of David, and sort of mix it all together into something better than that. God has made promises which will lead to that, but before that time, Satan will put up one final, you know, effort of rage against these things. And so Jerusalem is repeatedly referred to throughout the scriptures as the point, the bone, the hinge of controversy in the last days. And so, you know, when Trump touches Jerusalem, he's doing a blessed thing in acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. But by the same token, it is stirring up the principalities and the powers of darkness. And just like that, I always use the example like a tropical storm. You know, it starts out down there in the Gulf, and it's just a depression. It becomes a storm. Next thing you know, it's just engulfing the whole, you know, east coast of the United States. And likewise, the controversy of Zion will eventually engulf the whole world like a magnet. Whether people are interested in Israel or the Middle East or not, it will eventually pull everyone into that storm. And the Lord has designed it that way because it really is the final showdown between the God of the Bible and, you know, the devil. Of course, there's really no conflict, but there's no contest, but it's ultimately about God declaring his sovereignty, his victory, his faithfulness, despite our unfaithfulness, despite Israel's unfaithfulness, and showing himself to be a promise keeper. But, you know, before that happens, before the baby's born, the birth pangs are going to take place. And so that's the summary. That's what the end times are about. It's not the end of the world. It's the final hurrah before the establishment of the glorious, beautiful kingdom that he's promised and that he's been moving toward, you know, going all the way back to Genesis.
Yeah, and you hit really firmly on top of something. You know, he's doing it not necessarily for the sake of Israel or for us or whatever, but he's doing it because of him, you know, because it bore, you know, like Israel, bears his name, you know, it's his people. So he's making that stand. In fact, that's kind of the argument that Moses used with him to keep him from destroying the people after the golden calf. But anyway, Joel, you got a lot of stuff going on with you. Tell them where they can find out all about you, and we'll go to a break.
You bet. Well, I'm at joelstrumpet.com, joelstrumpet.com. If you're in Kansas City this weekend, I'll be preaching at Hillcrest Covenant Church, and the week after that, I'll be up outside of Seattle, and the week after that, I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for Passover.
Well, amen. And, yeah, and folks, don't forget, if you haven't ever been to a Passover Seder, you should really go to one time, at least one time in your life, to see what it's like and see what actually Yeshua was doing when he made I guess we call it the Last Supper. Anyway, folks, go and check it out. And links to this article I sent over to my pastor's page. If you go to prophecyhour.com and you click on the pastor's icon on the right, you will find a link to this article we're discussing. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, since this time, well, last week, within the last week, we did it last time we was on the air, we asked for donations of King James Bible. I might have been saying it for a few weeks, but, you know, we try to use all King James Version Bibles in the old 1611 version. They're really cheap. You can find them around, but point is we try to use those because that way, if we get everybody donating the same thing and we have a Bible study, it's really hard to follow. I don't know. I used to allow just practically any kind of Bible into a Bible study, and you'd have one person reading and another person reading from a different translation, and you're trying to follow in one, and you see what I'm getting at? Point is preferably if you could do it, King James Version Bibles, you know, donate them. We have gotten some in, is what I'm trying to say. We've had a couple of donations of some really good Bibles. Believe me, when I get there tomorrow, they will be gone. We go through different spells of people coming, and that's people actually wanting. We're not just passing them out or whatever. While we do, when we have them, just put them over on the shelf, and anybody is free, that is with free materials, they can go over. In fact, if you go to the Facebook page for WichitaHomeless.com or anyway, the Mission Church, you can see pictures of that place where we put the Bibles, and they're free for anybody to get. But right now, because we've got some different things going on, you know, if everybody's wanting them. So if you want to donate something and you don't want to donate food, you don't want to donate money, it's a real easy thing to go on the internet and find some King James Version Bibles, and they'll mail them, they'll drop ship them directly to us. Now, I will put a link up over on the pastor's page later tonight so that you can just click on the link and find some, and I'll make it easy for you. So pray about it. Anyway, we also need donations of, or we need, or you folks in Wichita, if you're there, you see an egg sale, bring us in eggs. We can use tons and tons of eggs. Like my wife said in the last hour when I had her on radio with me, she said we've been going up through up to 15 dozen eggs a day. That's every day that we're open. And so, That's just the 1 to 3 p.m. brunch meal. And then we serve them a completely other different meal, full meal at 4:30. So pray about it. That's just one way. If you live in Wichita, you can bring it in. Also, if you live in Wichita, drop off some clothing. We'll take any kind of clothing, men, women, children, you know, because people come in looking for all those things. People from all walks of life come in and look for things. It's not just homeless. And in fact, if you go over there to the Facebook page, I really wish you would go to the Facebook page for the Wichita Mission Church and look at some of the pictures. I made it a point earlier this week to send out a picture of some of the homeless that are out back. They don't look like homeless people. They look like normal, everyday, clean people. They're not dirty. They look like normal people because they are people. They're not some, while some of them do push shopping carts or whatever to get their stuff around, and some of them are scruffy, the most part, most of them are not scruffy, at least not in the area where we're at. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, all donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, you're listening to radio. Radio only stays on the air because we don't sell anything. Stays on the air because of your donations. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And just pray about it, folks. That's what we want you to do. Anyway, now we're back talking with Joel Richardson about many different things. Anyway, are you still with me, Joel?
No, I'm still here, Pastor Dan.
Okay, well, you must have insulated yourself from the bird, so, you know, I'm joking. I just thought it was funny because I really was trying to figure out where they were coming from. Anyway, that's funny. Okay, moving off of the birds, on to prophecy, I guess. Okay, I wrote down, okay, now, you know, looking at this map, you know, how would pre-trib rapture people explain this? Would they try to say this is Psalm 83, you think, or what?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, well, I won't say pre-trib, but let's just say, you know, you have a lot of folks within the prophecy world right now that believe the next major war will be Psalm 83, and that's usually, they say, the immediate nations that surround Israel. So, you know, they say it's Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and then they say after that battle, then comes this larger Turkish, Iranian, Libyan, Sudanese, and this larger sort of outer perimeter Islamic nations, and they most often say it's led by Russia. The problem is this call right here combines all of the nations that would be considered in Ezekiel 38, 39, Gog, Magog, as well as Psalm 83. So my guess is most would say, well, this is probably Gog, Magog, which will, you know, they'll all get eliminated, they'll all get wiped out, they'll get destroyed, and then will come the European Antichrist. You know, from just a geopolitical, military perspective, we have to understand that, yes, there is an element of protection that the Lord has, you know, over Israel. But by the same token, just in a very practical sense, Israel is an, you know, yes, they've got a great military, but it's an incredibly vulnerable nation. You know, if the United States was attacked, we're so spread out, you know, any number of major cities could get hit, but the United States would still survive. Israel really only has a handful of major cities. Well over half of the Jewish population of the entire nation lives really within the area of Tel Aviv. You know, you've got, I don't know, 3+ million people living there. And, you know, it's an incredibly vulnerable target. So if the time ever comes that you do have this massive regional coalition of Islamic nations filled with apocalyptic hatred, believing that their own religion and their prophecies call them to wipe out the embodiment of evil in the earth, Israel is incredibly vulnerable. And it's amazing to look at passages like Jeremiah 30, which is actually the passage where we find Jacob's trouble, is the first reference to Jacob's trouble. And just a few verses later, it actually says, none of your allies care for you. All of your allies have abandoned you. They don't care about you at all. They're unable to do anything to help you. And so, you know, I don't know what happens to the United States in the last days. I choose not to assume the worst. But for whatever reason, the scriptures are clear, the day is coming when Israel will be on her own. She will be by herself, and it will ultimately only be God that who can defend her. But we need to be clear. The scriptures say repeatedly, so many times, that a great number of the inhabitants of Israel will be expelled yet again. Many, many, many will be taken captive to the surrounding enemy nations, and only a remnant will survive. You know, Israel will remain, and the Lord will come back and save them. But the emphasis throughout the prophets is only a remnant, the survivors, the residue of my people will survive. And there is something cataclysmic that is coming. And, you know, we need to be aware of this. It's, you know, there's a lot of Christians, in my opinion, that will be confused if there's not a pre-trib rapture. And I think many Christians will be confused when they see what happens to Israel, because they'll say, this is not part of the narrative. I've always been told that Israel's going to exist forever. They're going to be victorious. God's going to protect them. And it is going to be almost as if Israel gets wiped out and the Islamic world is victorious. And we need to realize that the prophet said all of that was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I run in, you know, especially in, you know, maybe in some different, and now there's a lot of different beliefs among what I call the messianic circles, so to speak, or what do you call it, Hebrew roots movements or whatever. And there's a really broad set of beliefs. Having said that, though, I run into people within that movement so much that believe, just like you say, they do not believe that they've latched on to Israel, and now they claim they love Israel, and I don't doubt that their claim is valid. But you bring that up, those passages up, and they say, oh, that's not going to happen. You know, Israel is going to be Israel forever from now on. And that's just not what it says. Back to you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, actually, I'll just while we're on the air, I'll read a few verses, just to drive this point home. 2 Kings 19, 30-31. The remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah, they are the ones who will take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The emphasis is on a remnant and those who escape. You know, it's this kind of language. Romans 9:27. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. Isaiah 4:2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. So it's this kind of language that, you know, just throughout the prophets, it permeates the scriptures. It's always those who survive, those who escape. And then when Jesus returns, you know, he comes back and he's sort of making his way up out of Egypt, through Arabia, through Edom, and it says in multiple times that he's rescuing the captives, he's delivering the prisoners, he's setting the prisoners of Israel free. In Luke 21, verse 24, and this is, again, the last days, this is future, it says of Israel, they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the Gentile nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Psalm 102, you will arise and have compassion on Zion. It's the chosen time to show her favor. The appointed time has come. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and to release those condemned to death. So the Lord, their God, will intervene for them, Zephaniah 2, 3 and 5, and return their captives. Joel 3:1, behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem. So, I mean, it's just, you know, no matter what we're talking about, the language of the captives, the remnant, the survivors, those who escape, when God comes back, he is delivering the remnant. And we need to understand that in the same way, Pastor Dan, that he has, you know, broken both you and me and anyone listening to bring them to himself, in the same way that, you know, it says in the scriptures, don't be surprised when God chastises you. He's treating you as children. He's treating you as sons. You know, what father likes to punish his children? He doesn't, but this is how God treats his children. In the same way that he related to us this way, he is going to relate to Israel in the same way. And as it says in the Song of Moses, all the way back in Deuteronomy 32, the Lord said that when the Lord sees that they have come to the end of their strength, then he will show up and he'll say, where are your idols now? Where are the false gods now? See, behold, I am he. I am the only one. I'm the one who gives life and brings death. And so the Lord is bringing his people to himself, but he's going to use chastisement as a loving father. And the way that's going to look in the natural is terrifying. But as the church, we need to be aware of what's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. The part of the problem with the church is in the statement that you just made, and I find this with so many people, I say, hey, you know, when Yeshua returns, it's actually going to be a war. They go, what? No, he's going to come back, and instantly every bad person is dead, and it's all over with. We're going to heaven. And you know, so a lot of those people, I don't think, are that's why they don't get what's going on. Back to you.
Yeah, I always just make this little joke. I say, listen, Jesus returns with a sword, not a magic wand. You know, he doesn't just come back and wave his magic wand and everything is magically perfect and better. He comes back with a sword. He executes his enemies. There's a very real walking out of the victory of God. I encourage people to look at Isaiah 63. It actually talks about Jesus soaking the blood of his robes with the blood of his enemies. Like he's squishing grapes, and this is where we get it in Isaiah, you know, the treading the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. And then beyond the sword, he also rules the nations with a rod of iron. There is a very real rule that Jesus will walk out when he returns in a very real, natural, physical, tangible, earthly way. You know, and it's as real as right now this conversation that we're having. Jesus will be on the throne in Jerusalem. It's not just sort of some spiritualized magical thing that happens where everything is just cosmically instantly better. It says no. It says they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the ancient desolations. It says, you know, they will beat their swords into plowshares. It says they'll burn the weapons and use them for fuel. And you know, there's a very real restoration of the earth that takes place by the believers, by Israel, under the leadership of Jesus. And these things take time. You know, there's going to be an unfolding story. And it's actually a beautiful story to meditate upon because this is our hope. You know, this is what we're looking forward to, is participating with Jesus in the restoration and the beautification of the earth. That's something actually to get excited about.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And you know what? It goes back to the thing, you know, the things that you're talking about and you give the scriptures for them. The big problem is, Joel, so many people that claim to know, and I'm not saying they don't love Yeshua or love Jesus, you know what I'm saying, or have accepted him, but the problem is they're really not reading their Bibles. It's as simple as that. I've seen statistic after statistic of people that have actually read the Bible, and it's not a very large percent. And so it's easy to go to church and get a different view, if you will, than what's really going on because they're not reading for themselves. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, because we're making these statements, and some people will be like, wait a minute, where does the Bible say Jesus comes back? There's so many passages. I mentioned Isaiah 63. I love Habakkuk 3, verses 3 through 7. It says, God came from Teman. Now, Teman is basically southern Jordan, northwest Saudi Arabia, the Holy One from Mount Paran. So this is down, again, in Arabia, the Sinai Peninsula, down by Eilat. Then it says, God is coming up. The idea is he's coming up out of Egypt, Jesus himself as the greater Moses, and he's coming up and he's making ascent to Jerusalem. And listen to this language. His glory covered the heavens. His praise fills the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed in his steps. He stood. He shook the earth. He looked. He made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cush in distress. The dwellings of Midian are in anguish. So Sudan and Arabia are terrified. Jesus is making his way up out of Arabia. Rays are shooting out of his hands. The plagues, the pestilences. This is the bowls of wrath. And Jesus is actually executing these things in very real time. And it mentions nations that are trembling. I mean, there's actually detailed pictures of Jesus carrying out his victory on the earth when he returns.
Right, absolutely. And so, folks, I'm saying to you, you miss so much when you don't go and read that word for yourself. And let alone, you've been told by a church or somebody that said, well, you know, the Old Testament's all done away with. You don't need that. But, folks, look at that description that Joel just gave to you. That's a wonderful and great description of Yeshua. Go and read the words. You know, something else that really just drives me insane, Joel, is that, you know, Pete, have you ever, and I know you've had people do it, but I'm going to ask the question, you know, like maybe in, especially when it talks about the mystery Babylon thing, they'll say, oh, even though the Bible says Babylon, it doesn't mean Babylon, it means another country. You know what I'm saying? And doesn't the Bible mean what it says? Back to you.
Yeah, well, in the case of mystery Babylon, it uses ancient Babylon as a prototype for something that would exist in the last days. And it uses it as a shadow, as a type, as a picture. And, you know, again, as I argue in my book, I actually believe Saudi Arabia, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the city of Mecca, is mystery Babylon. At least I think that's a likely scenario. And even just to tie in with our conversation, just recently you had Erdogan, the president of Turkey, again, who I believe, you know, is the Turkey being the lead, the head of this coming beast coalition, and he says that basically everywhere where the former Ottoman Empire existed, he goes, it's no different to us than our current land. And he says, we are fighting by the power of God, by the power of Allah, so that everywhere where the call to prayer is, the Turkish flag will fly. And he even says, we are marching toward Mecca. And so here you have the president of Turkey openly declaring, and he mentioned by name Syria and Iraq. He says those are no different to us than Turkey. So he's reviving this language of saying, look, we need to, you know, expand and revive the old Ottoman Empire. And he says he's essentially hinting we're going to invade Saudi Arabia. And what does the scripture say? It says the beast will turn on the woman and devour her with fire and burn her flesh. And so, you know, again, when I say things are lining up in very specific ways, that's not an understatement. I mean, the very specifics, the alignment of the nations are confirming the Word of God in our day in a very powerful way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I've said this on the program many times, but I'll just repeat it. You know, when I saw Obama, and when Obama came into office or whatever, not long after, was the Arab Spring. And when the Arab Spring came in and I saw the nations realign, and, you know, what happened was, folks, is the dictators took their foot off the neck of the radical Muslims that would create these nations. And so we saw a realignment of nations start to happen then. And that's, Joel, when we started blowing the trumpet at the first of our program. Back to you.
Amen, amen. You know, we've been talking about all this, and I've got all these scriptures pulled up. I actually just tweeted this out earlier today, because despite the negative stuff that I just mentioned, the scriptures speak gloriously of the good things that are coming. Isaiah 35, the ransomed of the Lord. Now, what's the those are those who have been delivered from captivity, the former prisoners. It says, Isaiah 35, verse 10, the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their head. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's what we're all waiting for. Psalm 47, verse 5, God has ascended. He's making ascent up to Jerusalem to take his throne on the throne of David amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amidst the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises to him, a psalm of praise. He reigns over the Gentiles. God is seated on his holy throne. There is actually a procession that is going to take place, and it's amazing how it emphasizes singing and music, musicians, and, you know, rejoicing and joy, like overwhelming the people. And so, you know, in the midst of all of the doom and gloom, we need to remember that that day is coming, that Jesus will sit on the throne, and we get to be part of that party. We get to be part of that procession, you know, because clearly the believers come back with him, and they're actually making ascent as he's enthroned. So, you know, there's bad news, but there's some really good news as well. We need to sort of fix our eyes on the good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just like, you know, it's compared to birth pains. A lot of pain, but then at the end, with the last greatest pain, then something wonderful comes, and that's the baby. And in this case, that something wonderful that comes is our Savior, and then the deliverance of everlasting life. So, yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Well, we only got about a minute and a half. Yeah, tell them a little bit about what's at your site, and then we'll just have to say goodbye until next time.
You bet, you bet. Yeah, well, I'm at joelstrumpet.com. A lot of stuff going on. Finally, you know, you mentioned the underground program. I usually try to do that once a week. I've been real sparse lately, but I just finally rented leased a space. So pretty soon here I'll have sort of my studio set back up. I'm going to try to be real productive going forward. Just got a lot of stuff going on this next year, a lot of important projects that I'll be able to mention over the next few months. I can't mention them yet, but some really big news, and so please pray for myself, pray for my family and all the travels, and against there's been heavy warfare, and but the Lord is the Lord's faithful.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, for all that you do, I mean, you know, praise the Father. He gave you the right wife, right family, you know, to be able to endure. You travel a lot. Like now you've got, what, three or four places that you're fixing to pop up at, you know. I don't know. At my age, though, my wife's glad to get rid of me sometimes, so we won't go through that. I'm joking. But, hey, Joel, I've been married 33 years, I think it is, you know, so. But we got a wonderful relationship. But anyway, all right, well, thanks for being on with me, brother, and I appreciate you coming back on after being on so recent. But this article, I just couldn't resist asking you to come on and explain it like I didn't think anybody else could. So be blessed. All right, you be blessed, brother. Thanks for being on. Goodbye and shalom.
Okay, blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, go ahead. That was Joel Richardson at joelstrumpet.com. He has a lot of great things over there. You should go over there and check him out. You click on it. It's got a thing called a schedule of all things. What would that be? Well, that's the list of where all he's going to be. And just looking at it, you know, March 23rd, Kent, Washington, Then Charlotte, North Carolina, March 30th. Kansas City, Missouri. That's he's there now in Kansas City, Missouri. It says the 15th. So I don't know if he, but I know he said that the talk was going to be tomorrow. So go over there and check out his things and just see what he's up to, because I'm sure he may be in your area someplace. If not, he's worth traveling to see. Joel is a researcher. He really does get down there, and he's also open-minded. If you can prove something to him, you know, he's open-minded. He isn't the kind of guy that just shuts himself off to learning. Folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We could use your help like now, tonight, for tomorrow. We were saying that we need just for tomorrow to run the place. So pray about supporting it. Pray about supporting radio. And, yeah, listen to my wife and I go back and forth. It's kind of fun. We have her on every 2 weeks. We talked about Passover earlier today. And so check us out. We are at prophecyhour.com. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for what? Our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you have Yeshua in you if you're not a blessing to others? I just don't get that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Messiah's return, because like Joel said, there's worse coming. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.